Good morning. This morning's topic and the title for my talk is the best product on the market. I got my incentive or inspiration for this talk mainly by some things going on in my family life and other things around me. Lately, my mom has been selling a product that she's learned about from Melody, and many of you guys have already heard that sales pitch, and it's supposed to help with aches and pains and diabetes and a number of other things. And she even tried to throw me another sales pitch this week that my dad was going to go down to Missouri this week, and I was sitting outside. It was like, it's 80 degrees and sunny. Like, yeah, right. I didn't understand anything else she said after that until she's like, can you believe that dad's going to go with me down there on a day like this? And I was like, no. And a couple hours later, I got a phone call. You know what? Dad's not going to be going after all. So I didn't buy that sales pitch. But she's really pumped up about this product. And you can ask my parents if you're interested in hearing more about it, if you haven't already heard. Also, another thing is that the Iowa basketball team has recently hired a new men's basketball coach. And he has to sell fans and players on a product that isn't looking so good and hasn't looked good for quite a while. And he has to make them believe that he can turn things around. He has to make them buy into what he's trying to sell them. But my topic is along those same lines this morning. Can you sell this lifestyle to others, including your children? How well do you sell being a Christian? It doesn't sell itself. This lifestyle, you have to be willing to work at being a Christian. How do you come across when you're selling your love for God to others? Are you proud of the love that you share with God? Or are you like some teenage kids that might be embarrassed by their parents if they're seen by other kids hanging out with their parents, or be embarrassed of what their parents are wearing, so they don't want to be seen with their parents? Is that how you view your relationship with God? Do you sell it like you can't wait to get rid of it? If your sales pitch is transparent, and then people will see right through it. Do you have a hard time selling Christianity to others that it's for real? Would a vendor at a ball game sell very many peanuts or Cokes if he walked up and down the aisle saying, I've got peanuts, I've got Coke? I don't think anybody would buy anything from him unless they happened to be looking over him and say, oh, I'd like a Coke, and holler at him, but he isn't going to sell anybody anything like that. Nobody's going to hear him. Nobody's going to see that he's even trying to sell his product. Do some of us sell our Christianity and our love for God the same way? Your personality toward God shows if you're buying into what you're selling or not. I'm not Billy Mays. If you know who that is, he's the guy that sells all kind of stuff on TV. And you can't miss him because you'd have to turn the volume down pretty low to not being able to hear him. But he's not alive anymore. But if you just believe in God, Christianity sells itself. Personality sells a lot but personality won't do you a whole lot of good in hell. If you go from Ankeny towards Des Moines on I-35, you'll see a billboard, and this is what's on the billboard. When you die, you meet God. And it's a monitor machine that shows a heartbeat, and then it slowly goes out, and then it flatlines. When you meet God, when you die, you meet God. I think it is a very strong message. You kind of have to look for this billboard a little bit. It's kind of hidden in the trees, but it really made an impression on me, and I liked it a lot. You don't need a lot of words sometimes to get your point across. If you actually serve God, He will be there for you in ways you can't even figure out. Sometimes you can't figure out how in the world can God help me through this. And just this week was one of those times for us. I didn't know how we were going to get through it. My attitude was down, and I prayed to God, but I knew that I still had to do something about it in order to, God wasn't going to just throw something down for me. You got to be able to help yourself in order to get an answer. He's not going to tell you how, like He might have done in times past before Christ. He isn't going to speak to you. That's not the way He does it anymore. But I was still very depressed on Wednesday night. Teresa and I were prepared for her to take 6 weeks off when our baby was born. But now it's threatening that he wants to be born in April just as well as his brother and sister. And the doctor decided that she needed to go on bed rest and not work anymore. And that was very stressful to me. The fact that I might have to go get another job on top of working AE and having two herniated discs in my back, I didn't know how I was going to do it. How was I going to be able to make things work? Even though I prayed about it, it still stressed me out. It stressed me out so bad that I didn't want to balance my checkbook. I just feared it like it had jaws and teeth. It's like I didn't want to look at it. But reluctantly I did it, and I found out that there was an extra check, an extra deposit that never got written in to the bank statements. And that started to ease my worries and think maybe God has some kind of answer here. And I was still worried about my job situation, whether I was going to have to get another job. About an hour later, I got a phone call from the dairy saying, "Do you want to work overtime on Saturday?" It's like, sure, I'll do that. You know, I don't want to work Saturdays, but I've got to do that now. But it was as if God was telling me there's something on the upswing. If you just keep praying and you just keep thinking, leaving me in your life and trying to lean on me, then I'll make your life better. But if you find God, He'll find a way to help you, is the whole meaning of this story. And if you don't lean on Him, how do you get through it? What do you lean on? There's nothing. If you leave this church family behind, you don't have anything to lean on. Heaven should be an easy sell. If I could tell you that there is a place that can take away all fear, pain, suffering, and sorrow, And you'd never need to eat again because you'd never have hunger pains. I think you'd want to listen to that. Still, many people don't. They don't want to listen to it. If you went door to door asking people if they were interested in hearing about God, they would probably not want to listen. They would probably shut the door in your face a lot of times. Maybe some people would answer you politely to go away. They wouldn't want to listen. But it's too bad that you can't put a little realism in there and have them standing over a lake of fire holding on for dear life and tell them, hey, I can help you get away out of this situation. That's reality. Even though they can't see it, that's reality. They don't have to have that fate, but they choose that fate, and they don't want to listen because they don't believe. How hard is it of a job should it be to sell a product that should sell itself on results alone? There's widespread debate in churches going rampantly around about how easy it is to achieve the end result, which is heaven. The Bible tells us there's only one way. In John 14, the sixth verse, it says, "And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Unlike many things which require money, serving God costs no money to join. We are never asked to give anything that we can't afford to give. It doesn't cost us anything to be baptized. We just decide that we want to follow God, and then we make our decision known in front of others that this is what we want to do. It doesn't cost us money to do that. The question is, are we willing to sacrifice the things that this world has to offer in order to serve Christ? Many people will tell you that it's easy to get to heaven. Just as some people sell a product by trying to sell you on the idea you can use our product and only have to dedicate yourself 5 minutes a day and achieve this great physical body. Only 5 minutes a day. You have 5 minutes. Some will tell you this is the commitment level that you need to get to heaven. That's the only commitment level that you need to get to heaven. We can get you there in just a prayer. If you pray with us on the TV set, then you're going to go to heaven. You'll be saved. That's all you have to do. That doesn't work that way. Once you have believed in God, it is not impossible to fall away. There is no once saved, always saved. Unless you die and you're saved, then you can't lose that. We all have watched members of this congregation and other congregations fall away from serving God. How hard do we work to get them back? Do we just leave them alone and say, they've been warned, they know better? Do we hope the elders or somebody else will step up and take care of it and talk to them? Or do we leave them alone because they aren't in our social group and maybe that's why they fell away in the first place? Maybe they feel like they're the only one nobody talked to at church. Maybe that's what caused them to fall away. Maybe the fact that we don't make them feel included caused them to feel, why do I keep doing this? Nobody here cares. Nobody's really buying into what they're selling. They're not coming. They never talk to me. It's easy to be a member of this group and feel that you're out of the loop and nobody cares. Especially if you just be sick for a while. I haven't seen Ruth Grant since the last time she was in this building. And that's my fault. Part of it is I don't have enough confidence in myself to think that a visit from me is going to make somebody feel better. But we still need to make an attempt to make people feel like they're missed and appreciated. With other churches, this level of commitment is acceptable. With God, it is unacceptable. Is it acceptable with them because they want your money? That's not the way God operates. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 46. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered and thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to one of the least of these, you did not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We are supposed to sow what we're supposed to be preaching. We are supposed to live the life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, it reads, Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that the judgment must begin in the house of God, and if the first begin at us, what shall then the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful creator. That last verse, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, people that aren't willing to do God's work, that aren't willing to put in the time, they're not suffering. They don't want to suffer. They want the quick fix. You have to be willing to suffer for God's name. Commitment is key, and it's essential to our salvation. If I want to be overweight, there are many ways to get there, including doing nothing at all. If I don't care about my soul's destination, there are many ways to get to hell, as well as doing nothing at all. Like anything worth getting and achieving, you have to work at it to get there. It's not going to be handed to you. In 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow up thereby." And when it says, as newborn babes desire the milk, sincere milk of the word, it's not talking about the babies desiring milk from a bottle. It's comparing us in that way, but we're supposed to desire the word. We're supposed to desire it that much. Do we? That's how we grow. As desiring that word and being willing to study it. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, it reads, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." These verses talk to the fact that there is a commitment level involved in serving God, and it says that you need to do things not just to not do bad things. And John the 14th chapter, verses 9 through 21. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet you hast not known me, Philip? That he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. For if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he receiveth and he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This is the kind of relationship, the intertwine that we should feel between us and God, that we should all be a part of each other. In Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, it reads, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I mean, this group of verses totally shows the unwillingness of the world to accept God. Through their own foolishness and their own blindness to God's word, they do these things. The last sales pitch that I want to talk about is having too strong of a sales pitch. Can you oversell the church? I think we can all think of situations where we wonder if that family was, the parents were so dedicated to God that their children were drowned in it. And they weren't allowed to do anything fun. And there's a lot of fun things that we can do and still be Christians and still keep ourselves pure in God's sight. Maybe they felt pushed away because there was too much. But you can never really have too much God. It's all in the presentation. I think all of us have had to endure a sales pitch that was too pushy. And all you could think of is you just wanted that person to leave you alone. Just go away. I don't want to talk to you. I want to find this out on my own. It's possible to take religion so seriously that your children don't experience any of the fun things that aren't sinful growing up. It is possible, I think. But in the end, I still can't see passing up serving God and return for receiving an external heavenly prize. Eternal heavenly prize. That is far better than anything we've experienced here on earth or will ever experience here on earth as a reward for being a member of God's family. Many of us have fallen into various forms of workout equipment that we have seen advertised on TV. We decide, boy, I've got to have that equipment. I can get myself back into shape. I've got to have it. Then we get it, and we're initially excited to work out vigorously, and then our excitedness kind of goes away a little bit, and it winds up in storage or some kind of apparatus to hang laundry on. Would you say that best describes your relationship with God? First, you get baptized, and you're all excited. You want to go to studies. You want to do this. You're just vigorous about it, and then in time your interest wanes and your Bible lays around not being used. You're not getting that spiritual workout anymore. It's just sitting there. You might not even know where it's at. If your Bible only gets used as often as that old workout equipment, there's a problem. Just pulling it out on Sunday morning is like someone using it as a laundry rack, like those exercise equipments can become. Are you sold? The most hard fact to accept for me is that some people here this morning are not going to accept and buy into this as they should. When I give a talk, I always pray before I give a talk that somehow I can portray the importance of serving God to people, that they would want to do it more after listening to my talk. It's always important to me when I give a talk that I want to do the best job as I can, that somehow God would make that message heard by people to make them change their lives if they're not doing what they should. If you aren't sold on heaven, you'll be sold on hell. It's not hard to get there. You'll run into it just fine. No directions needed. Just ignore God's word and ignore the invitation. Are you sold that you're ready to meet God when you leave here? Do you have a doubt that there is a God still? Are you willing to risk dying and meeting God in your current state? How seriously are you sold on this way of salvation? It's serious whether you decide to take it that way or not. It's just as serious whether you decide to take it that way or not. As that billboard reads, when you die, you meet God. Whether you choose to take it seriously is up to you. I'm not willing to risk my soul by not taking it seriously. Who are you sold to? Are you sold to God? You have a decision to make whether you're going to be sold to God and sold to be a Christian in your life and sell it to others, or if you're just going to be one of those people that are going to meet God someday when they die and say, oops, I should have done a little bit better. You'll have eternity to think about that. But you have a little bit to think about as we stand and sing our invitation song.